Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up!
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Welcome back to the show. It's number 2 of 4 today, February 19th, 2015. It's about minus 15 here in the great state of Ohio, but I hope it's nice and warm and cozy where you are. We're about to fire it up, though, about to heat it up on the longest-running motivational podcast on iTunes. It's Sam Crowley, host of the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Great to have you back in the saddle. Hey, let me share with you. You're going to be able to relate to this. I'm sure you are. It's going to be a great message. My week started horribly. Horribly. I'm not talking about my kids being home from school. I won't beat that dead horse. I love my kids. Sure I do. Mainly, you know, when we get a little break. Wouldn't you like a break from the kids? Of course you would. I would. Absolutely. But it's great to have them around 4 days in a row. Snow days. But I'm not talking about that at all. All right. So here's my week started. I own rental properties 500 miles away in Pennsylvania, my hometown. I've talked about it 1,000 times, okay? So I get a call about a brand new property manager, great guy, hard worker, I mean, amazing person. He's doing a great job, bang-up job, just running around. It's as cold as it is here in southwest Ohio, it's 10 times colder in Bradford, Pennsylvania. It is one of the coldest spots in the entire country this time of year. So temperature is getting minus 20, minus 30 degrees, and then we got the pipes bursting. And it's like boom, 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 boom. I mean, pipes per. I own some 40 units, so I would imagine I think 8 of them had frozen pipes and bursting and water lines frozen and all this stuff. No heat. It's just crazy. And it's the same time every year. I mean, you can set your watch by this time of year, the issues that we have with the rental properties. And it's been this way since I've owned them since 2002. So it's at 13 years ago. So. New property manager, though, is new to the game, new to this game, especially with my units, and calls me, not in a panic, just very concerned, which I'm glad he is. Says, hey, boss, we got pipes bursted here. Here's an example. I had one unit. It's a lower. One of my properties I own is a 4-unit building, all right? And inside the wall, one of the pipes completely just shot, burst, froze, exploded. Probably 6 inches of water. 10,000 gallons of water in the unit, flooded it, gone. Nobody was living in the lower unit. It's the only unit that we had vacant. What's funny is we finally had somebody move out last month, new coat of paint, fixed it up, carpet, everything like that, boom, ready to go. We had it in a paper online, ready to rent, and we were showing it, and then boom. So nobody was living there, but there's probably 10,000 gallons of water on the floor. All right, nice. So this is how my week starts on Monday. Property manager, hey, texted me, you got to call me right away, he's sending me videos, and I was actually inside Children's Hospital. This was Monday the 16th, the President's Day. My kids were off. I brought them down to Children's to see our baby girl for the very first time. You know, it's funny. I don't think I mentioned this on a podcast. I haven't, because this is the first show I've done this week. We brought our girls to Children's Hospital to meet their baby Susan for the very first time Monday. Baby Susan never met their older sisters. It was awesome. A lot of great photos. You can check out my Facebook page, Facebook.com/Sam Crowley. And my page is open. My personal page is public right now. So I'm sharing this entire journey, the one more breath journey of our baby Susan. And Paigey got to hold her. Laura got to hold her. It was just awesome, man. It's just great. I mean, it's like one step closer to having our entire family together. It's amazing, man. Just amazing how this journey has played out. So I'm in the lobby at Children's Hospital. My property manager sent me a video, and then he called me, got to talk to you. I said, this place is flooded. I'm like, all right, well, button it up. I'll call the insurance company, and it's a total loss. We'll get the adjuster over there. And you know, don't focus on it. Don't worry about that one. Don't worry about that unit. And I think the impression I got from him was, really? Like, that's it? That's your response? And my response is, yeah, what else are we going to do? I mean, look, here's the situation. Let me rewind the clock a little bit, all right? In the past 10 years, I've had one total loss, property burnt all the way to the ground, gone, demoed, and it's now just grass, okay? That was a three-unit building burnt to the ground. That was somebody that arsoned the building because he was upset. I think the story goes he was upset that one of the guys living in the house, a buddy of his, was dating his ex-girlfriend or something. So he decided to burn my building down. All right. Nobody got hurt. That, look, as a landlord, let me tell you, being in the landlord business, it ain't for the weak of heart. It ain't for someone who doesn't have a strong stomach lining. Okay, you're getting the midnight phone calls to 4 a.m. phone calls. You're getting cops showing up to your places. You're getting people kicking holes in the wall. It ain't for the faint of heart. Okay, but when you have a fire, the only thing you're concerned about is the welfare of the person living in there. Anything else can be replaced. Windows, roofs, structure, anything. And if it can't be replaced, you demo it down, you get the insurance check, you pay the bank off, and if there's anything left over, you put it towards capital improvements. I mean, really, there's no money to be made in the landlord game until you got your notes paid off or if you just got some honey of a deal you got on a short sale or foreclosure or something like that, all right? It's a long-term passive income play, cash flow play, all right? So I've had buildings burned down. I've had other fires. This was nice. I had a lady burn my building down in 2009, because up the street, a block up, there was a fire at a property, and well, I didn't own it, but there was a fire at another house. She was smoking a cigarette in one of the upper units of my place, and she put the cigarette out to go look at the fire going on a block up the street and burnt my place down. That's something. Everybody got out. Nobody got hurt. $250,000 of damage. Insurance check. I had it rebuilt, and that one we were able to save. Had another fire at another place that was actually arson. I mean, look, arson, man, it's all over the place. You know, it's funny, I was talking to the state trooper who was investigating one of the fires at my building a while back, and I'm like, what the hell? Why are people burning buildings down, and who did it? He goes, you know what's sad, man, is we only catch 10% of arsonists because they're usually done where nobody else is around, in the dark, middle of the night, or whatever. It's not like they just go put gasoline on a front porch at noon in a busy intersection. I was like, wow, that is, he said it's one of the hardest crimes to convict. I just thought that was nuts, man. It's like, who would ever burn a damn house down? And of course, first they always look at the landlord because the insurance money. I'm like, dude, you can, here you go. I was sending emails to the investigator. Here you go. Here's my, because ironically enough, I actually changed insurance. I got canceled. My insurance policy got canceled because I had too many claims because of the fires I was telling you about a few minutes ago. I had to get another policy, and I just simply grabbed one that was the same price as another one I had. And he's like, well, why'd you switch insurance policy? I'm like, because I got canceled. And, of course, he called and verified that I did get canceled, and the story checked out. And, you know, I'm not a person of interest, quote-unquote, any longer. But makes sense, you know. It just makes sense. You look at the landlord first, but they never caught the person. It bothered me. They never caught the person that set the fire at the other place. But anyway, I've had a lot go on. I've had a guy cut water lines in my property, replace the copper with PVC so he could go scrap the copper. He went away to the state penitentiary prison for 2 to 4 years. We convicted him because it was so stupid. I mean, he's cutting copper out of my buildings. He was a maintenance guy, worked for me. Cut copper out of the buildings, replaced him with PVC, so he could go make a couple $100 scrapping the copper. So stupid. You know, there's so many ways to earn income legitimately in this world. You don't have to go to stealing or arson or any of these other stupid things people try to think of. They spend so much time thinking how to steal or other ways to make easy money, which there's no such thing, and they'd rather go to prison because they don't want to get off their ass and actually do a day's worth of work. It's the craziest thing, man. Society sometimes is so warped. That's why shows like this exist, to help educate people that there's, think of all the ways, like just write on a whiteboard or a blank piece of paper or get your computer out and get a Word document. Think of all the different ways that you can earn income, a couple $100 a day, legitimately, legally, and you'll be amazed. And just pick one and go with it and shine the magnifying glass over that. So of all these things going on, my property manager is like, this week, hey, that's it? I go, yeah, that's it. I mean, look, I've been down this road 1,000 times. That's it. Call the insurance company, get the adjuster out, and let's start the process going. That's why I have insurance, for when pipes burst in the middle of the night in the wintertime. And he's like, okay, great. And he did it. So the pack is only going to travel as fast as the leader. You know, if I'm showing worry, fear, panic, and anxiety, then everybody around me is going to show worry, fear, panic and anxiety. If I say, hey, button it up, leave the water in there, let the insurance company take a look, and let's just go, that's why I have insurance. Let's focus on the units that we don't have 10,000 gallons of water on the floor, and let's make those ones great, and we'll rent them out and take care of the tenants. All right? Cool? Cool. But what did I have that maybe he didn't have? Experience of all these disasters happening, at least in the rental business. All right? I don't get upset anymore. There's nothing that can happen in my rental business that's going to cause me to lose any sleep. Now, is something going to cause me to, you know, be upset for a few minutes and think, damn, well, that sucks? Of course. I mean, I'm a human being. But when you're operating from a state of experience, that's why you get into entrepreneurship, so you can gain the experience so you don't have to sit around and wonder what's going to happen. You're never going to know what to do in a tough situation if you've never been through a difficult situation. So if you're trying to avoid failure, if you're trying to avoid a tough situation, if you're not getting into something because you're afraid that something bad might happen, those bad situations are exactly what help you out down the road. That's the experience, which equals wisdom, okay? Without wisdom, you can have no discernment. You would never know what to do in a tough situation if you were never even put in a tough situation. It's 3 days ago now when all this stuff went down, when I'm in the lobby of Children's Hospital, by the way, another horrible weather day. We're driving down. It took us an hour to get down there. Weather, traffic was terrible. All of that, man, didn't faze me a bit. It just didn't. Why? Because I don't worry about that stuff anymore because it happened to me for the first time 10 years ago, man. Got bigger fish to fry, you know, bigger things to do. You sit in a state of panic and worry and fear. What good ever happens to that? Never met anybody that ever worried a problem away. Oh, I worried a lot, so it went away. Never happens. Never going to happen. You know what's going to happen? Go fail a couple hundred times. Go lose some money. Go bankrupt. Have these things happen, and then you'll know what not to do, and then you know how to react in a difficult situation. But if you're trying to, like, tiptoe, it's funny when you see people just walking down the street, like, tiptoeing over mud puddles and not trying to step on anything. What do they end up doing? They end up stepping right in one. Because they're trying to avoid the other fifth. Don't try to avoid problems, man. Figure out how to solve them. That's how you make a lot of money. You don't make any money avoiding problems. You make money by solving problems and then adding a ton of value by reporting back to people about how you solve the problem. Make sense? Hey, Sam Crowley, host of the Everyday Saturday podcast. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.